But let's start with some rugby league. First off the bat, the Rugby League Players Association CEO Clint Newton is on the phone with us this morning. G'day, Clint. Good to talk to you for a new year. A lot ahead of you, mate. Can I start with COVID first up? We're trying to get a handle on what the game looks like going forward under Omicron. Can you give us a snapshot from a player's perspective?
Yeah, good morning, Matt. Thanks for having me on. I think realistically what players are looking for is they want to be educated on the safest possible choices to make in the community. I think what we've seen is the community is learning to live with COVID and coexist, and the players are looking to do the same. I think one of the great success stories that we had throughout 2021 was the without a mandate that we had about over 98% of players rolled up their sleeves, got vaccinated, which is higher rate than any state and territory in the country. So what we're looking for now really is to get to the table with the NRL and work through some of the challenges, with all the stakeholders, particularly clubs and the players and the NRL, discuss the risks and solve the problems collaboratively, because it is going to be a challenging year. But we've seen many codes throughout the world get through it. And I have no doubt we'll get through it, just like we did in 2020 when the game shut down.
So we've seen some clubs come out and say, look, a third of our players, 75% of our players have had it or have it or are recovering from it. Across the board, we don't really know the exact number of players who've been affected by COVID. But it appears as though there's quite a few. So, Clint, if the competition was starting this weekend, would you have enough players to field an entire squad across all games required?
Well, fortunately enough, we're not starting this weekend. so that's a good thing. We don't have to make that decision. I think what we've done is that, given the fact that players have contracted it and staff and many people in the community, players are rebounding and they will be, available for trials and for the season. Again, it's not without some risks. Obviously, the NRL have developed a return to training and playing mandate, which we're certainly supportive of, to make sure that we're monitoring players that have had COVID and making sure that they're returning as safely as possible. But I think that, again, what we've seen in other codes around the world is that there's different ways to manage it. Yes, if matches are postponed, we'll have to work through that. But it also comes down to, what the government mandates are around isolation periods for people that have COVID. So at the moment, obviously, it's a seven-day quarantining. But if in the event that changes, then obviously that changes the level of challenge and risk associated with the season.
What about the situation with those players that remain unvaccinated? Now, we've got a couple of high-profile names, Jason Taumalolo, Nelson Asifa Solomona. What's the situation with them? And what's your view from a players association perspective of those who remain unvaccinated?
Well, obviously, as I said to begin with, the positive thing is that for the whole game is we're in single figures. And for different reasons, players have chosen not to be vaccinated. I think one of the key things here is that without a mandate, we've got nearly 99% of players have got vaccinated. Mm. Now, those players that remain unvaccinated, there's a framework in place for clubs to work through, and players are aware of that and their agents. But again, it's going to largely depend on state government regulations and also stadia restrictions that are in place. So again, we're hopeful that players will work through that. We're still optimistic about ensuring that we don't see any other players exit the NRL. We certainly think that would be, a real shame for everyone, given the fact that I think we can get through it. But I think that's still a work in progress with some of the players.
I want to talk to you about the collective bargaining agreement in just a sec, but on a broader sense, Clint, as you look ahead to 2022, and let's just push aside COVID at the moment, can you see any other major issues that you would want to raise first up before you head into this season on behalf of your players?
Well, I think the biggest thing that we've obviously been, speaking about, particularly over the last couple of years, and ironically, we did it very well in 2020 at the beginning when the Apollo Committee was brought together, is having a seat at the table and making sure that we've got an ability to be properly consulted and work through matters, particularly in areas that impact on the players. I think that if it requires us to bring the table and chairs, then we will. But we players need a voice. The RLPA is the only independent body advocating for all professional rugby league players, male and female, and we're essential, to functioning and on a fair game on and off the field. So I think that is the main one. Outside of that, we're really optimistic about the 2022 season. We make no apologies about the fact that we want to secure the best terms and conditions in Australian sport. We certainly believe that that Peter leading the game certainly would champion that as well, given the fact that we've got such an incredible group of male and female players playing our game. We've got to set it up to make sure that we are the sport of choice for boys and girls in this country, and we'll certainly advocate hard for that.
I got a question on the text line from one of my listeners, Matt from Hunters Hill, who wants to know if you've been given any feedback about any COVID positive players returning to training who've noticed reduced performance and damage to lungs, et cetera. Is there any of that medical kind of feedback coming back to you?
Now, what we've seen, and obviously, again, the clubs have been incredibly diligent with how they've managed, extremely challenging circumstances over the last couple of years. They've had to shoulder a significant amount of responsibility. What we're seeing is there's varying impacts on players. We're seeing some people, a big portion of players that are asymptomatic, that are getting picked up by the daily rapid antigen testing that's going on in club land. And that's no different to the community. We're also seeing different players not respond as well. But again, their return to training and playing is something that has been put down, and there's some guidelines in place for that. But yes, there are some challenges with it. But again, we're certainly optimistic about the fact that none of the players will be severely impacted to a point that they won't be able to take the field this year.
And I mentioned the CBA, so the collective bargaining agreement for NRL and NRLW players expires this year. When do those discussions start to take place, and how difficult do you think it will be, or do you think that it's going to be a pretty regulation process?
Yeah, again, like I'm an optimist, Matt. I'd like to think that it's going to be it's not going to be overly challenging for all of us. I think that if we all come to the table with a right frame of mind, and like I said before, is that we want to make rugby league the sport of choice. Based on the best terms and conditions that we can secure for the male and female players, that, without sacrificing those best terms and conditions for the players, we hope to have the CBA negotiations wrapped up by the middle of 2022. I don't see any reason why it has to drag on. Historically, it's gone on for quite some time. But I do believe that the game owes it to itself to get, come together, work through it. The game is in a strong position financially. Clubs are in a strong position. The game has kept their cost base low, which is great. And we should all come together and get aligned and really give the players and the future generations what we're looking to achieve.
Well, it's been a tough couple of years already and another difficult one ahead of us. But I think if anything, rugby league has shown amongst the players, amongst headquarters, amongst your organisation, that when you get all together, you can push through the whole lot. So we look forward to speaking to you more often throughout the season. I'm sure plenty's going to come up, mate. So we'll have plenty of time to chat throughout the season. And thanks for your time this morning.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. Should be a great season. I'm incredibly excited about the women's competition that's due to kick off in February. I think that's going to be a sensational way to start the season. So we're looking forward to that one, as well as wrapping up the CBA for them.
Absolutely. Good on you, Clint. Rugby League Players Association CEO Clint Newton. The NRLW series gets underway February 27, so that rescheduled competition is set to begin there, and then the NRL season on March 10. So let's hope that the game just keeps on pushing through. We will take a break. 0457 736 736. You've lit up the scoreboard this morning on my quiz question of the day. So I've gone back to 1980 And the reason why, because on this day in 1980, US President Jimmy Carter said, we're not going to the Moscow Olympic Games. Now, for those of us that remember all of that, I do remember what then happened. Australia went, and like I said, we won gold in the 4x100, the mean machine. Neil Brooks comes charging home, and I've posed the question to you, what was said after this great call from Norman May?
It could be Australia's goal. 5 metres, 4, 3, 2, 1.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. What was said next? Well, you've already had your say on the text line. I'll give you the answer after this.